Good evening. It's good to see everyone. If you will take your Bibles, turn to John, the 11th chapter. John chapter 11. And I know the PowerPoint says lessons from Luke. I'm not confused. We're going to get to Luke. But we're going to look at the first passage we're going to look at tonight is in John 11 here in just a moment. The title of our sermon tonight is Do Not Worry. Sermon, hopefully a Bible class. It better not be a sermon. And I appreciate Alan for leading the song. I asked him on a little bit late notice last night, and he volunteered. And I'm always admiring of people who lead singing and their talent and just pick up hundreds of songs out of our book and just make them all sound perfect. You don't want me leading singing, which is why you haven't seen me do that in nearly 20 years here, but I appreciate his ability and his talent to do that. Also appreciate Jody. I don't know if he's in here for taking my class. There he is. Taking my class last week while we were visiting family in Texas. I've preached a sermon on this topic, actually using Matthew's account, at least a couple different places. I gave an invitation probably in the last year, give or take, here. And so I pulled some things, but I've also revised a few things. I think this is a very practical lesson for Christians and people who aren't Christians alike. We're going to look at some instruction that Jesus has, but certainly something that's very prevalent in today's time is this concept of worry, and it gets us all at different times. I want to recount just a couple of events that perhaps might have caused you to worry. You remember where you were on September 11th, 2001? I do. I was a senior in high school. My parents had just moved to Tennessee. I was supposed to just spend a few short months living with my aunt so I could graduate and then go on with them. On August 11th, my father had two stents put in. On September 11th, the World Trade Center happened. On October 11th, I was quite nervous what was going to happen. Fortunately, it was a quiet day. I was kind of concerned. I didn't know what to do. We went to school. They showed everything. I remember there was rumors about running out of gas and all this stuff, and I was this kid sitting here thinking, am I supposed to go stock up on gas so I can drive around? Are you supposed to start rationing? I mean, what do you do, right? And that sounds a little silly, but when you're 17 years old and your parents are gone and you've had this national tragedy, and I mean, what do you do, right? October 9th, 2007, the Dow Jones was at 14,164. On March 6th, 2009, the market was at 6,443. Some of you in here were probably getting ready to retire, and you looked at half of your retirement savings cut in half. Now, this is a free tip. You didn't lose anything unless you sold. But that might have caused a little worry in your life, okay? You might have had an illness yourself, or maybe a major surgery coming up, or the death of a loved one. I remember the first time I had to go in under anesthesia. Okay, well, never done that before, right? You might be a little concerned about that happening. I remember when they told us last year that Natalie had a hole in her heart and she was supposed to have open heart surgery at 2 months old. Now, that turned out great, and that's not going to happen. But you've all got your stories, right? Those are mine. Something's happened in your life or in the country that's got you concerned. And so the question is, I've heard Mike Pittman say this several times. He's preached a sermon on this, okay? There is a difference between legitimate concern and worry. Question is, how do you handle that, and when does legitimate concern turn into worry, okay? And that's when we have an issue, okay? The Bible says not to do it. Jesus says not to do it. It's not always that simple for us to say, okay, Jesus did it, I'm going to do it. That should be our attitude, but sometimes there's a little bit of a process for us to get to that point. Many of you probably, well, most everybody here knows Shane and Kelly Carrington. Shane's been here several times. They're friends of ours. We saw them Saturday. Shane sends out regular emails on Kelly's condition. Doing very well right now. They actually think she may be cancer-free right now based on some recent lab results. But he put in one of his recent emails, he says, life is difficult enough under quote-unquote normal circumstances, whatever that is. Don't waste any of it. Grow strong with your family and friends now. Grow stronger in your faith. Love God and your neighbors now. Life is short. Make the best of each day by focusing on the Lord and being a humble servant of others. Rather than letting worry rob your joy, let the joy of the Lord strengthen you through whatever adversity you face. Take one day at a time. Today is what you have. Don't waste it through worry. Rejoice in God's gifts. Savor each blessing. Your life will be far richer regardless of your circumstances. He sent that last night. I thought it was very timely. Of anybody that I know, they're going through probably as much of a trial right now. And some of you have had that same diagnosis and treatment. I'm not here with all the answers. I'm not here to tell you that I can tell you when your concern has turned into worry. That may be one of those things that only you know. But it's certainly something that affects us, and some of you have went through far greater struggles than anything that I have, but it's certainly something that we need to be cognizant of and talk about some ways to help each other through that. I want to read you a couple of quotes, and then we're going to get into the passages from the Bible, from an article from Zig Ziglar. Now, I mentioned I did this in the invitation about a year ago, but some of you may not have been here, and some of you may have forgotten I even gave that talk, and that's okay. So he's got an article, Are You a Worrier? And most of you know him. He's a motivational speaker. I'm not sure if he's still living or not. He's passed away. Yeah, he was quite aged. But he had a few funny quotes. Now, he quotes Matthew 6, verses 31 through 34 in the article. He says a few things about worry. He says, worry has been described as interest paid on trouble before it comes due. He says, one of America's worst enemies is worry. He says, it's like a rocking chair. It requires a lot of energy, and it gets you nowhere. And you can imagine just sitting there in a rocking chair just going 100 miles an hour, and you're not getting anywhere. But you're using up a lot of energy to do it. I don't know who Leo Buscaglia is. This is in his article. Some of you may know who that is. I have no idea. But it's a good quote. It says, worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. It only saps today of its joy. A few months ago, I was talking with one of my life insurance underwriters on a case we were trying to get in. And I'm sure Brother Todd would probably know this as well. But the client was taking anti-anxiety pills for anxiety and depression. And we were trying to figure out if this was going to be an issue and how they looked at the case. And the underwriter told me something that stuck with me. She said, roughly 30% of all people in America take some type of medication for anxiety and depression. Some of you are probably surprised by that statistic, and some of you may not be. It may depend on your perspective. I'm not saying that there are not legitimate situations in which people might need medication. I'm sympathetic to that. So don't, if you walk away from here with some other conclusion than what I just said, that's on you. But I will also tell you there's no doubt in my mind that in some cases, I don't know when, but in some cases, our society has turned to medication in lieu of faith and prayer and seeking help from other people. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind about that. What that breakdown is, I don't know. But I know those drugs are overprescribed. There's no doubt about it. When you go on in this article, and the math doesn't matter, but Ziglar says, psychologists and researchers tell us that roughly 40% of what we worry about will never happen, and 30% has already happened. 12% of our worries are over unfounded health concerns, and another 10% involve the daily miscellaneous fretting that accomplishes nothing. Plainly speaking, Americans are worrying 92% of the time for no reason. How many times you worry about something before it occurs, and then that moment in time passes, and you come to find out it was nothing all along. You just got yourself worked up. And that's sometimes what we do, and we all do that. So there's certainly a few things for us to ponder. In John chapter 11, we have the situation here where Lazarus is dead. If you look in verse 32, in John chapter 11, in verse 32, it says, "Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Lord, come and see.'" And in verse 35, Jesus wept. You think Jesus had legitimate concern here? I think there's no doubt based on the text. Okay. Did Jesus worry? Roger says no. Certainly not in a what would be sinful worry. We know that. So even our Savior, while on this earth, had concern about things. Things touched him. He had emotion, just like we did. That's not what we're talking about tonight. That's not what the biblical warning and condemnation is. It's not against, if a family member passes away, you going through the grieving process, or if you come down with a disease, or a family member coming down with a disease. That's not the concern. As we're going to see, the issue becomes when that does something to our faith. When our faith gets out of order, you might say, or out of priority. Let's look at Luke, the 12th chapter. That's where our lesson is found for the evening. Luke chapter 12. And we're going to read verses 22 through 34. And we're going to make 5 points from this text, and we'll borrow one from Matthew 6. Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34. Kevin, do you want to read down through 28? And Todd, can you get through 34? Thank you. All right, so I think there's 5 things we can learn from this passage, and we have time, or need to. We'll go over to Matthew 6, the parallel passage. First thing is kind of obvious, do not worry. And you're thinking, okay, well, you've told me that in your slide. I get it, right? Jesus says in verse 22, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. you think about this in your life, it's a simple command, right? I mean, is this not the same as when we read other passages and do not partake in X, Y, and Z? But it's kind of, is it hard? Sometimes, right? Because life happens, right? Things happen. And so, it's hard to say, okay, Jesus said don't do it. I agree. I've got the right attitude. I'm going to not do this. And then sure enough, something comes along and you're like, wait just a second. I've got some things to get in order here. If you look at verse 34, he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's almost like when something happens in our life, it's kind of one of those tests, if you will, of where's our citizenship at today? Are we citizens of heaven trying to get through this life? Or are we citizens of this earth trying to get to heaven? There's a big difference in those two. Same words, reversing the order, but there's a big difference there. And so we've got to keep our focus. We've got to put God first. We've got to put that where our treasure is, and that will be one thing that helps us get through. Second thing, worry is not going to change the situation. If you look at verse 25, he says, and which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Now, I know some of you would love to add one cubit to your stature. Brother Mike, would you like to add one cubit to your stature? Scared of heights, okay. His point is not about growing taller. You can't worry your way into 7 feet tall. His point is you're not going to change the situation. That rocking chair we talked about. Sit there and just get after it. Not going to go anywhere. Car, you can put your car in neutral and get it up to 5,000 RPMs. It's not going anywhere, okay? That's kind of you when you're worried. Your car's stuck in neutral and you're just putting a hammer down and it's not going anywhere. It looks kind of like the Razorback football team last year, right? That coach was talking about getting the left lane and popping the clutch and all that. I think it was the worst football team in my lifetime, okay? That's kind of worry in the rocking chair deal. You can sit there and just get after it and go to town and nothing's going to happen. Well, I tell you, a little trigger happy tonight. Number three, we're looking for more than we need. You look at verse 27, it says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. We live in one of the most prosperous countries that has ever been in existence on this earth. And I will just contend that part of our issue, we're trying to accumulate just a couple of too many things sometimes. And the more you take on, sometimes, if you don't do it wisely, the more you got to worry about. I think it's something we need to be cautious of. We can get caught up in it. And that doesn't have necessarily anything to do with how much you make or how much you have. Sometimes it's just about living within your means relative to where you're at. Number four, be a kingdom citizen. In verse 31, it says, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Again, priority. Where we put our treasure, what's important to us, will help us avoid worry. Let's go now to Matthew chapter 6. Go ahead. Don't keep up with me. You won't have far to get. You won't have far to go. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's go to Matthew 6, verse, the end of that. We'll look at verse 33 and 34. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 and 34. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So I'm putting this in my own terminology, but number five, don't borrow trouble. I say this a lot. I say this a lot at the office to a lot of people. Don't borrow trouble. We do that all the time. People get so worried about something, you know, that might come in the future. I'm not saying don't plan. I'm a big planner. Do what? That's right. But don't borrow trouble. We've got enough legitimate things to worry about that we don't need to get carried away with tomorrow. Think about all the things, legitimate things that you do in a day, okay? Many of you still have kids in the house. Okay, so you're going to wake up. And if you're like me, you got a built-in alarm clock. She crawls around all over the house, and she gets up about 6-something. And before she got here, the only reason I'd get up at 6-something is if I was going fishing. But from the moment I wake up, I've got a 14-month-old, you know, 6 inches from my face trying to wake me up, you know, and get my attention. So you wake up as a parent. And there she goes. She thinks it's funny. And you wake up as a parent, and then you get ready, and you go to work, and you provide for your family. And perhaps you have employees, and as a Christian, you've got obligation to how you treat your employees. Some of you are going to school just fine. You're preparing yourself to provide for you or your family in the future. Oh, by the way, you might have to do some family stuff during the day. And then you're going to come home, and you're going to try to be a good spouse if you're married, and you're still going to parent, and you're going to go to bed parent. You've got all these legitimate things that the Bible talks about and roles to take that you need to fulfill. And if you're going to rob all that and all that joy that's there and all those legitimate things because you're borrowing trouble for tomorrow, you're not going to be what you need to be in those roles. Because your mind's going to be somewhere else, and it's going to take you somewhere else. And so, when Jesus says, do not worry about tomorrow, tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. There may be enough problems of the day, there may be very well enough legitimate things that we need to be involved in. And so I think we need to be careful. Let's go to Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians chapter 3. We've got about 10 minutes left. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 17 through 21. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have for us a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Again, you have this concept we were mentioning earlier about where's our citizenship? I think that plays a lot into this topic. When something happens, do you look at it with a viewpoint of eternity and being saved, having a relationship with Christ? Or do you take whatever has happened and only look at it in the here and now? And sometimes that's what worry does. It robs us of our perspective and our viewpoint and what should set us apart as Christians. And we turn into people that think very much only in the here and now. Think about people that are skeptics or doubters, or maybe even people who were once Christians who have left. What would you say one of their biggest issues is that causes that? I don't know that there's a right answer, but I'm looking for a little feedback here. What would you say? Yeah. Everything, they can no longer believe in God because they can't see him. They can no longer believe in the Bible because maybe a miracle isn't happening today. They have all these issues because they're looking at it solely through a natural lens, right? Rather than a spiritual lens. Anything that occurred in the Bible that's a miracle, they can't accept because they can't believe it or see it in a natural lens. They try to explain away all the things that occurred in the Bible through a natural lens. Sometimes that's what worry does to us. It puts us in that, what I call that natural setting, and we only worry about it. Hey, you've got a Heavenly Father that loves you, cares for you, sent His Son for you. Again, we can talk about all these things in theory. They're great. That's where we need to be. Just a matter of when this something happens in life, how do we respond? Look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You think this was easy for Paul to write? What was the setting here in Philippians 4 when he wrote this? He was in prison. Think it was easy. Oh, be anxious for nothing. In prison in the first century, by the way. This isn't three meals and cable TV and whatever else happens and getting parole, you know, 20 years getting, you know, parole after three. This wasn't a subscription to Hulu and Netflix and whatever else you're getting in prison. I'm carrying on a little bit. I'll submit to you, sometimes we don't know anything about situations that could truly give us real concern. In our 21st century bubble and all these amenities that we have, we turn some relatively trivial things into things that just get us worked up and all out of sorts. But Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, and this is the key, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's an obvious remedy, but sometimes we forget to do it. Look around you. Most people around here have either, in this congregation, when somebody's been sick or had surgery or major going on, have taken meals, have prayed for you, have come to your home. You know how I know this? Because sometimes a meal list will go out, and we're a little slow responding right now, and Deanna will text me, hey, what day is good to bring food to such and such? And by the time I get a chance to respond back, the meal list is full. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks sometimes, it's full. Now, I'm not much of a cook. I do most of mine on a grill, okay? So Deanna's going to cook most of those meals. Point being, if you've got people who are willing to bring you food, don't you think they'd be willing to come talk to you and to pray for you and to help you? So yes, pray to God, but utilize this congregation. It's not like this everywhere. Mike and I were talking about this yesterday for a few minutes. I've probably traveled a decent amount for someone my age. Do you know how many congregations I've plopped in that have a tenth of the people here? I'm not picking on them, but that happens, right? There's not a lot of resources. There's a lot of people here that have financial resources, have time, deep faith, years of experience. Utilize that. Utilize that to help you get through those situations. I want to close with just a few things about, and this is just my observation, about why we worry in today's time. I'm going to use an analogy of a car. Sometimes we drive on the wrong side of the road. We're caught up in the world. I was coming home from Morrilton one day on I-40. Luckily, this fellow was on the other side of the interstate, but there was a guy driving the wrong way on Interstate 40. And you know, sometimes that's what we do. I mean, we don't even get on the interstate on the right direction. Sometimes we're going the correct direction, but we're doing some of this distracted driving. Cars on the shoulder. We're hitting those little things that wake you up when you're falling asleep on the side of the interstate. That's kind of what our lives look like sometimes because of worry. And sometimes we're doing everything else right. We're in the middle of the lanes. And someone just slammed their brakes on Interstate 40 at 70 miles an hour. And it's going to take us a few seconds to get the car back on the road and calm ourselves down. Had that happen on the way to Texas. Bad wreck. All of a sudden, my car starts just beeping at me. What is going on? Got to slam those brakes on, right? Sometimes that happens. Something happened in life that kind of catches our attention, and we've kind of got to reset. I think a few other things that we do that sometimes causes some issues. We engage in too many unnecessary things. We chase a career dream that maybe we don't need to chase. I'm not against promotions. I think sometimes we That's the only goal we have in life. You know what else? We live in a consumption-based economy. Roughly 70% of our economy is consumption-based. This, what Roger said, keeping up with the Joneses. We just consume too much and sometimes put unnecessary stress in our lives. And sometimes we just do too many things with our kids. Any of y'all drive by the baseball or the softball fields on the way to worship or leaving worship? Some of you do. What do you see out there on Sunday morning? Yeah, and they're not warming up because they just left services. I don't know how many people I talk to that the parents leave on Friday or Saturday and they're gone all weekend and maybe get home Sunday night or Monday. When I was growing up, a lot of those leagues respected a time of worship. They wouldn't start games during a time of worship. I'll submit to you, that's gone. By and large, if you find that, that is rare. And so I think sometimes we just get in too many things, and then we get to worrying about, well, how am I going to balance little Johnny's activities or little Sally's activities with being a Christian? And we get our focus all out of priority. We're living in the world, and then something comes upon us. And all of a sudden, we're worried about it. Why? Because we've just been engaged in worldly living week after week after week, month after month. We're not here glorifying God. We're not here getting the edification that we need. We don't regularly attend worship. We don't regularly engage with our fellow Christians. We don't do anything. We get caught up completely in the world. And then something comes along, and we're not prepared for it because our focus isn't where it needs to be. So I'm done. We've got a couple minutes if anybody's got a question or a point. Otherwise, we'll ring the other bell. All right, we're done.